Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com and is also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, I have the opportunity to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hey to Lynn. Hey, how's it going today?
Hi, yes. It's going really well, thank you. How's it going for you?
It's going good. It's going good. It's Sunday morning for me, and it's pouring rain here. And I have a barbecue to go to later, so I'm hoping the rain's going to let up a little bit.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm so delighted to have you as a guest on the show today. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself, who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy?
Mm-hmm. Hi, everyone. My name is Lynn Mackey, and I am from Edinburgh in Scotland, although I currently live in Newcastle in England. And to keep busy, I love type drama, and I've been a member of the drama club for about 10 years, over 10 years now actually. And I also just love any kind of media, so films, television, video games, I'm there.
Oh, all right, good. And what do you do for work?
I'm currently a student, I'm finishing up my master's. However, I'm also doing an internship where I'm helping to develop a mobile application for people who stammer. People who stutter, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How interesting. What are you getting your master's degree in?
My master's is in information and library studies.
Okay.
And I've currently got the postgraduate diploma, and I'm just finishing the upgrade to the master's.
Okay. Wow. And what got you involved in what got you interested in that field?
After my undergraduate degree, I found a job in the Edinburgh City Libraries back home. And I got a part-time job in the library, just working with the public, organising and stuff and everything. And I really, really loved it, but I couldn't find a full-time post.
Oh.
And one of the librarians said to me, if you're serious about it, go and get the degree, and that should open up a bit more opportunity for you. So yeah, I went and got the degree, and now I'm coming out the other end, and hopefully I'll be able to find something. We shall see.
Yeah. Now, how has, I know you guys call it stammering over there, so yeah.
Yes, how, I love the word.
How has stammering impacted your university studies?
I don't think it has over much. I've always been very open about my stammer, and partially because I didn't realise it was possible to be covert until I was 15, 16. And by that point, it was a bit too late because everyone already knew. So I carried on being hurt that. However, like, my policy was just always, like, in university, like, whenever, like, I went into, like, a new class, like, with a new lecturer, I would tell them up front, like, kind of, if I put on my hand to answer a question, like, it take me, like, a while to say it, like, this is why. Like, and if you just hang on, like, and wait for me, like, it should be worth the wait. Yeah, I was always just, like, very open about it. Like, and as a result, I didn't have any trouble with it.
Oh, great, great. And how did people react to your openness and your advertising?
Like, mostly they were quite impressed that I just kind of faced up to it straight away, like, and, like, kind of took the pressure off myself and also, like, off them. Because I think a lot of fluent people, like, if it's the first time they've met someone and, like, who stammers, that, like, they're not sure how to respond to it and they're not sure what they're supposed to do. So by me, like, kind of breaking the ice and letting them know, like, kind of what I prefer, like, it made it easier for them as well. And it just, like, kind of let them know that I was okay with it. And I think they respected that I was just like, yeah, it's there, let's carry on.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And was it like that for you as well growing up?
Not so much growing up. In high schoolers can be, like, a bit more cruel than university. Once you get up to university level, they're a bit more mature and more willing to accept those kind of things. I didn't get too much starts bullying for it in high school, partially because there were other things they could bully instead. But no, there was the odd comment, the whole, like, have you forgotten your name? Oh, like, are you okay? Like, are you having a wee forget? But yeah, it wasn't so much, like, people, like, within my class sort of thing. And, like, my class, like, after the first, like, 2 weeks, they were used to it sort of thing. Yeah, like, if I met someone, like, from, like, another, that's, like, it was just, like, a little, like, kind of sideways comment and stuff. Like, however, like, I was already comfortable enough, and also, I always had a strong, like, kind of friend support network, like, so I would just be like, I stammer. And then invite them to carry on after I flatly said, well, this is what it is.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. I certainly was not like that when I was younger and when I was in high school. I definitely was covert, and it was because I was afraid of how other people would react, and I was also ashamed of stuttering, and I thought it was something that, you know, made me weak. And I so desperately wanted to fit in with my peers that I hid it most of the time, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, was really hard to do.
Well, it must be exhausting just to constantly having to kind of plan ahead and second guess what's going to happen and all of that. Like, honestly, I don't think I'm intelligent enough to do it. I'm able to do it. I think it takes a great deal, like, of, like, foresight, a great deal of, like, forward planning, and I'm not very organized. But yeah, I can't imagine as well. Just, like, the extra, like, pressure that you're putting on yourself as well must be really hard to do.
Yeah. You use the word exhausting, and that's kind of like an understatement. It was extremely exhausting to carry on like that for so long, and I always kind of likened it to mental gymnastics. You know, constantly, just as you said, you know, looking ahead and trying to find words to substitute, and then if I couldn't, forcefully trying to quiet myself. because I always wanted to participate. I was always very outgoing, but I made myself introverted by, you know, putting that pressure on myself to not want to stutter in front of people, because it's pretty much the only way that I knew how to not stutter was to not talk. So yeah, it was definitely hard.
One thing I quite often did, like when I was in high school, I would avoid like kind of brand new situations that where like I didn't know anyone. And, however, like, as long as I was going somewhere that where like I had someone who already knew me, already knew about the stand, I could take like kind of strength like kind of from them, and like and kind of be more comfortable being myself in that situation. Like, however, and there were like, a lot of situations that I backed out of because I wasn't going to know anyone there, so like it would be kind of completely new ground.
Actually that makes sense, and to be able to take strength from the other people that you already knew, that's a good strategy to use.
Yeah, because you've got to think, like, if they like kind of already know like about the stutter, like, and so like you, like you must be doing something, I'm like, all right, so you must be like a pretty good person. Like, and therefore, like, you can take that and be like, these people like me, so clearly these people are gonna like me.
So what's it like in Scotland for people who stammer? Are there a lot of resources? Are there a lot of support?
Well, it's a mixed bag. In terms of like kind of clinical support, like it is available privately, like and through the NHS. However, like a lot of adults don't tend to go to speech therapy here.
Really?
It's not like as widely taken up. I don't know whether like it's a kind of pride thing, like an adult not wanting to like admit the weakness, or whether they've had like a bad experience when they were younger, like and decided not to go back, or something like that. Like, but as a child, you get like kind of referred, like kind of come. From your doctor, from your school, or from your parents. And so you get like kind of caught that way, but like as an adult, that doesn't happen so much. However, like in Scotland, like we have our own like kind of national charity for people who stammer as well, though, and which is great for adults who stammer. Although we're still like a fairly new, we only started in 2012.
Oh.
So there used to be a branch of the British Stammering Association, like in Scotland. However, like, it closed in the late 2000s.
Okay.
And unfortunately, like after that, there wasn't very much going on up here. Like for people who stammer, there was still quite a lot going on like down south. Like in the BSA, they do like a lot for people who stammer down south. However, a couple of people up here decided, okay, like we're not quite getting like what we needed, like so like, we're gonna start our own thing.
Okay.
They started a support group in like in Glasgow, which is in the biggest city in Scotland. And they just started meeting like in a hotel, like kind of going along, like kind of chatting to each other, like kind of sharing like experiences and ideas and everything. And soon it turned into like the Scottish Tammering Network, like and it took on like the country name. Like, and now we have three support groups, like in the kind of different places in Scotland. Like, so, like, we're slowly growing, like, and we're hoping like we will carry on growing, because it's a great place just to show people like there are other people like you, Sam, are like in their region, just people they can talk to, people they can turn to for advice and stuff. Like, and hopefully, like, we'd like to spread a bit further as well. But as I say, we've only been going like for 4 years or so. So
yeah. Are you involved?
I am. I'm the vice chairperson.
Oh.
The organization. And I run from the Edinburgh support group, which I'm guessing like is what you guys would call like the chapter, like the Edinburgh chapter that I run.
Okay, all right. Oh, wow. Have you been involved since 2012, since it started?
No, I came in at the end of 2013.
Okay.
And it was just, I came out of my undergraduate degree, like, and I thought, like, I want to see what's around there. Like, I want to see, like, if I can meet up, like, kind of with some people who stammer. And see what's going on. But so, like, I sent out like a couple messages, like, and it turned out that the chairman was actually somebody like I knew, like, kind of from the British Stammering Association Scotland days.
Okay.
How, like, the odds of all the people who stammer in Scotland, like, and I happen to know the one who's running the group.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, I went along, like, I got involved, like, I went along like to the meetings for a year, and then after like a year, I made the mistake of sitting next to the chairman at the Christmas night out, and after like a couple glasses of wine, I'd agreed to help run the Edinburgh group, like, and join the committee, and to do like a speech at their next open day. So.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's dangerous.
Yeah. So were you involved with the BSA conference that was held in Glasgow a couple of years ago?
I wasn't directly, like, involved with, like, the organization of the event. However, like, I helped with the promotion of it, like, in Scotland and stuff like that. Like I did like a news interview.
Yeah.
And like talking about it. Like, unfortunately, like, I wasn't actually like kind of in Glasgow for it. Like, I was out of the country when it was happening.
Oh dear.
I know. Yeah. Like, it's being held like in in my country, and I'm not there.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was around, like, when it was happening, but I wasn't, like, kind of directly involved in it.
Right.
It was a great thing to have, like, the BSA, like, and the SSN, like, kind of working together in order to put on this event, like, for the whole UK. Like, it kind of, like, established, like, kind of that, like, we're not, like, working against each other, we're just working in different areas, like, and we can come together, like, and make something like kind of really great and really strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's, I didn't know that you were as involved as you are. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there a lot of women that are involved in the SSA?
Yes, actually, we've got quite an even, well, I'm not even actually thinking about it. There's probably like a bit more men who come along to the meetings than women. However, yeah, there's loads of us on the committee.
Oh, good.
I think like the women like kind of outnumber the men on the committee at the moment.
Really?
Yes, which is good. Like, we're not all like people who stammer, but we do have some like a some SLTs on our committee as well.
Okay.
But we've got like a good balance of representation, which is good.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good because, as you know, women are in the minority, and there's always more men than there are women. So it's good to hear that you've got good representation there.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, and the Edinburgh group, like, is run, I'm not by myself, like, and another, like, a woman who stammers. I'm like, so, like, we've got the Edinburgh group, like, and then. However, like, most of our, like, attendees are actually male.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be honest, it's not something I've really thought about until this moment, but now thinking about it, yeah, we do have a good kind of representation, which is good.
yeah, very good. Yeah. So going back to the mobile application that you're working on for people who stammer, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I saw an advertisement like an internship for people with disabilities, and it was going to be like a kind of research post into the kind of using technology in new areas for like kind of civic like a good and that sort of thing. Like, so I went in for it, and when I got it, they said to me, like, we were thinking about, I'm like about developing like a mobile application, like for people with speech impediments. And like, would you be willing, like, kind of to like kind of head up like the development, like of like the one for people who stammer? And I was like, yes. and since then, I've been based out of Newcastle University, doing lots of research, like about stammering, like about like the different like techniques that are currently being used, and like about like kind of what other like mobile applications have already been kind of semi developed, like and what studies have been done on the usefulness of that, and also at the NSA conference, like in Atlanta, like which I went to, I took along a survey where I could gather like, opinions and thoughts like on like a what people who stutter would actually like to see like in an application for them. Hey, because one of the drawbacks with technology is quite a lot of the time you get these people going, oh yeah, we're going to make this, they're going to love it, they're going to use it, like, and then they give it to the person and the person's like, no. So we were very keen, like as early like as possible, like to get like people who stammer like, involved in the process of creating it, to make sure we were developing something which they actually wanted. Like, and having me on the team, like, was good, because I could veto some stuff, like, straight out of the park and be like, that wouldn't really work. However, the stuttering being such a varied condition, like, everybody, like, experiences it differently, has different thoughts about it. And we wanted to get, like, as much like a feedback as possible. So, yeah, like I took the survey like along and I got like a few responses there, but I got a little bit distracted by the conference. I woke up. And then after the conference, like I made like an online version, like, and I circulated that as well. So like we managed to get quite a few responses and some really interesting ideas for it.
Oh.
Like, now we're just kind of going through all that and we're looking to see what we want to put into it.
Mm-hmm. So what is the goal? What what is it that you want the application to do?
Well, ideally, we want it to be a means for people that can to practice their speech and like kind of practice like everyday like kind of situations that would normally get them really nervous. And like a role play, time like maybe like kind of try different like techniques if that's what they want to do, or just practice like kind of stammering openly, and like kind of facing up to it. Like it's entirely up to them how they want to interact with it. And like, and we also wanted to have like a kind of a journal feature, like where they could reflect on their stutter, like it. And self-monitor their stutter. Like for instance, like if they were going into like a bar, like to order like a drink, like they could take note of how they feel, like kind of going in, and sort of thing. And then after the fact, like kind of say like how it actually went. And then like, over time, hopefully they would be able to see a progression, and like in their attitude. And like, see like an improvement, like can help their confidence and stuff like that. And also like if we had like enough people using it, we'd also like to do like a kind of a peer feedback sort of thing. And like where how people could record themselves like kind of like speaking or reading something out like people let them know that your eye contact's really good, your posture is really good, I like the way like you use like the tone of your voice to convey your message and that sort of thing. Just like a positive feedback, just to let them know that speech is not just about the words we say, sort of thing. Like, and if there's a slight pause in the words we say, that's fine, because we can still communicate. Because I think like as people who stutter, we put a lot of kind of emphasis just on the words,
right?
And how we say the words, as opposed to looking at how well we put across the whole message. So yeah, like as I say, like it's still like at early stages. However, yeah, we'd like to use it to help people like with their confidence.
Yeah, I like that. I like the sounds of that a lot. It sounds like it would really be beneficial for people, and there's a real goal behind it. It's not just going to be, you know, another app on your phone that just kind of sits there and you don't do anything with it. Yeah. Exactly. Is it geared for everybody, or is it geared for a particular age range?
At the moment, we're kind of thinking my adults, just because like they're the ones who tend to like kind of fall through the net in terms of speech and language therapy. Like, however anybody like would be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it could also be like a nice compliment, like kind of to speech and language therapy, like as well, like if you wanted it to be, like you could take it in like and show them like kind of like what you've done and stuff, like what situations you've put yourself in, and you can set yourself like kind of challenges like that. At some point this week, again, I'm going to go in and ask for like a lottery ticket or something like that. You know. Oh yeah, like kind of primarily like kind of adults, like kind of self-monitoring in themselves. Like, however, like it can be like adapted for basically anyone.
Yeah. When do you think it will be ready?
That's a question. I couldn't say. I'm not so much on the techie side of it. I'm on the research side of it. But ideally, within the next year or so.
Okay.
She says hesitantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see this kind of thing available because there's nothing quite like it. Obviously, you can find stuff which is like the delayed auditory feedback and like all these little tools. But it'd be nice to have something that was more kind of specifically designed for us, if you know what I mean. We're hoping to run like workshops, for the development in the next month. And then after that, hopefully we'll get onto the kind of proper like designing of it.
Yeah. It sounds really exciting to be part of that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I'm learning a lot about the different ways that you can approach the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how different people will respond to stuff in different ways. It's very interesting. It's also very interesting to read about all of these applications which have been made by other people, which I can't actually find the applications anywhere.
Oh.
Sort of, so the actual applications, mm-hmm. I don't have. Yeah, I've read a few articles, but they're we've done this, but now I can't find it, so I don't know.
Yeah, wow, that's strange. So kind of heading down towards wind down, because the time has gone so fast, but but I want to hear a little bit about your experience at the recent NSA ISA conference that you attended. Was it your first time in the United States?
No, I've been a couple times as a kid, and also back in 2011 to 2012, I lived there for a year.
Oh.
I was an exchange student at the University of Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so when I heard it was in Atlanta, I was I need to go, it's really close to where I used to live.
Yeah,
so that was part of the reason that I definitely wanted to come, was because it was in the site.
So real quick, when you were at the University of Mississippi, that's Ole Miss, right?
Yes.
Do you know that they have a communications and sciences disorders department there?
I do now. I didn't when I was there.
Oh, okay.
Nobody let me know when I was there. I did announce my stutter, and nobody let me know about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found out about it at the NSA conference, and somebody was oh yeah, did you go along to the department? And I was no.
Yeah, because there's a really cool researcher professor there at Ole Miss, Dr. Gregory Snyder. And he actually was working with an app a few years ago that worked with a iPod, with an iPod. He was working on recording people stuttering and then loading it onto the iPod and kind of using it as delayed auditory feedback.
Okay.
So, yeah, that might be something that you might want to check into as part of your research. But he was there at the conference in Atlanta. So it's too bad you didn't meet up.
I met another Ole Miss person, but I didn't meet him.
yeah. So what was your experience like at the NSA conference?
Oh, it was so good. Everybody has... so welcoming, and it was really easy just to walk up to a group and introduce yourself and join in with the conversation and kind of get to know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the range of workshops on offer was really good as well, because you had the more clinical technique ones, and then you had the experience ones, and then you had the kind of practical ones, practice speaking, and practice your public speaking and all of that. Yeah, it was a really good balance of workshops. It was well organized, and everybody was just lovely. Like, and it was nice to see the mixture of like the internationals and the like, Americans as well, because it was it was totally different, like kind of from the last like kind of World Congress, and like where like it was in the Netherlands, like so there were loads of Europeans, like, and not so many Americans. And then you came to this one, and suddenly there's Americans everywhere, and it's like, oh.
Was there a special moment or moments that stood out to you?
I think one of my favorite moments, it was like one night, like after the conference, we were all in the bar until about half one, and the bar closed, and like a group of us were just like, no, actually, like, we're not finished, and like we all like walked around the corner, like, and bought bottles of wine and brought it back and just carried on, like, carried on the chat, carried on the like, just the feeling like of like being together, like and spending time together, like and getting to know each other and stuff like that. And we were actually there until about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
And it was just a sense of like we didn't want the night to end, like, so we found a way to make it carry on. And that was great.
Yeah.
It was such a lovely thing.
Yeah, wow, it sounds it. Now, did you meet a lot of people your age?
Yes, yeah. And a lot. It was good to have, like, the kind of like the 20-somethings group.
Mm-hmm.
Like that meant like that you could see what they were up to, like, and then get involved if you wanted to. And there was always like kind of that group there, like if you didn't have somebody like to go and get lunch with, like you could send a message like, who wants to go and get lunch? And people would be like, yeah, I'll go, and stuff like that. Lovely. And yeah, just like kind of rounding about. Yeah, there were loads of people my age, which is nice to see. Mm-hmm. Because there's not always like kind of such a good representation like of all of the different age groups.
Right.
But,
yeah. Right. Right. Well, it sounds like you had a great time.
I did. Yeah.
Well, is there any one thing that you might advise to a person thinking about going to one of those events, about going to a international conference? How would you advise somebody thinking about it that's kind of like on the fence and not sure if they should go?
Well, all I would just say is kind of, if you don't try, like, then you're never going to know like what the like experience could have been. If it's fear like over like kind of meeting new people, like and talking to new people, but like kind of just remember, like, we're all in exactly the same boat sort of thing. And that's the great thing about these events. You go along and like, and there's loads of people that had the same concerns as you. And the same fears, and also the same like kind of strength as you, all in the same room to have, like, and what you will find, if you go there, if you won't be left in a corner like on your own, like somebody like will find you, they will talk to you, and they will introduce you to other people, and also like once you're like in a room like kind of with other people who stutter, conversations go on and you can't shut them up, which is fantastic. It's it's an amazing experience just to meet other people at Feast Utterm and remind yourself like you're not alone and like there are others, there's this community, and you can use them like whenever you want. And yeah, like it's a very, very powerful thing. I think.
Yeah. Wow. What a great way to wind this down. Thank you for sharing that. And Lynn, thank you so much for being a guest today. This was a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I can't believe how fast it's gone.
I know. My goodness, the time just flies when two people who stutter are talking, right?
Can't shut us up, and that is amazing.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing parts of your story.
Thank you as well. Like, thanks for doing this podcast just to give us like a platform to share our stories. It's great.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.